Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community. I see a generation standing on the truth in each and every nation. God is on the move.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Sunday Night Live. We are so glad that you have joined us. It's Sundays is for Jesus and for naps, and thank goodness I got my nap today. And so tonight here I have, of course, I have my husband with me, James, and we're here with Deke and Joy Silverman. How are you two tonight?
We are blessed. It's an honor to be here.
Very well. Yeah, blessed to be with you.
I am so glad that you came. You were at Cornerstone Church a couple of weeks ago. Just the history that you brought of the Christian faith was just so amazing. But would you tell the people a little bit about who you are, where you are from, and kind of where you got where you are today?
Well, yes, I was born and raised just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My father's family are Orthodox Jewish people from Russia. Now, he was born in America, and we were all born outside of Pittsburgh, actually in Pittsburgh, lived 20 minutes away. And I never heard the phrase born again till I was 20 years old. Never heard the phrase. We lived in a neighborhood that was mostly Gentile. But that doesn't mean they're Christians. Nobody I knew heard of the phrase born again. Mm-hmm. This was in Western Pennsylvania in 1972. I found Jesus. And I was invited to what was going to be a prayer meeting at Teen Challenge in downtown Pittsburgh. I was working in downtown Pittsburgh. A young lady in one of the offices got saved. I didn't go there to get off drugs. I wasn't heavy on drugs or anything. But I was so hungry to learn about God and Jesus. And, boy, they answered every question. I was doing professional theater in the evenings and working in a department store during the day, doing theater in the evenings. And I had long hippie hair. Just like, you know, when you see those movies of the late 60s, early, that was me to the core. And as soon as I walked into Teen Challenge, there was a whole lot of people with afros and long hair. And I thought, these are my kind of people. This is all right. But I wanted to know God so much, and I asked Jesus into my heart. And a year later, I used to go there to Teen Challenge. They had prayer meetings on Thursday nights. I was so hungry. I wanted to be there. I'd borrow my dad's car, drive over all the way into downtown Pittsburgh just to be a part of it. I didn't know there were churches that believed like this. I didn't know of any.
Yes.
You know, I won't mention any denominations, but the churches in the area were like clubs. You acted like a Christian on Sunday. The rest of the week, everybody just acted like they were the wildest people on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And found a born-again, spirit-filled church a year later and told them I'm called to ministry. And it was God's timing because they were visiting a Bible school in Missouri the following month.
Wow.
So I went with them and got so blessed. I knew this was the calling of God and applied and made it. And I used a little bit of my theatrics to help them out with skits. And another professor from a school in Texas. You've heard of Texas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a great state of Texas.
I got here as soon as I could. It was a place about 20 minutes south of Dallas. And I was part of a music and drama group there. And we traveled not just during the year, but on scholarship across the country of 12 weeks. And it was so much fun. We're staying with Christian families. I wanted so much to get to know everybody and everything like this. And then a man who had a huge Jewish ministry named Mike Evans asked me after I got one degree, "We need you right now. Finish up this last semester and put together a Jewish music and drama group." And then that ministry moved from Graham, Texas to Long Island, New York to reach the Jews. And I headed up in the summer, all the witnessing and everything. And we'd go into downtown New York, pass out literature. And this fine young lady, my wife Joy, she was raised in Macon, Georgia. Her dad was a Pentecostal minister. And when I introduce her, I tell people, there's unwritten rules. When you're the oldest daughter of a Southern Pentecostal preacher, that means you have to learn to play piano and sing right after you walk.
That's right. That's
She's been doing this since she was six.
Whether you want to or not.
And I always tell people, I didn't get a chance to say this this morning. Decades ago, I asked for a scriptural wife, and her name's Joy. So I married the Joy of the Lord. And I want to share about Passover and things like this. But first, I want to introduce my wife, Joy. We've been traveling for over 40 years. Say hi, sweetheart.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you and speak to all the listeners across the airways. God is so good. And with this being Passover, Easter season, this morning, it's been just rolling around in my spirit. Isn't it awesome to know that just as the death angel came and the blood was on the doorpost of their doors, they were spared. With us, that blood is on the doorpost of our hearts. And that's what is going to be, that's what really matters. It's what really makes us a believer.
Right.
So I'm thankful to know God as my Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that Jesus is my Messiah.
Well, thank you for introducing me, Joy. It's so good to have you here. I did have a question since you brought it up.
Yes, ma'am.
So your background is Jewish.
Yes, ma'am.
And her background is Pentecostal.
That is correct.
So how did this all work out when you met each other, met the Joy of the Lord?
The ministry I was in 76, moved to New York on Long Island, as I had mentioned. And she came as a secretary right before it moved to Long Island because I had a Jewish couple in my group that knew her from Macon, Georgia. They were part of a charismatic youth ministry back then. And God bless her. We knew each other for almost 2 years. The ministry grew huge. There was about 12 to 15 married couples. He bought what used to be Small Girls College, living on the property. Then there were dorms for single got men and women. And there was about 45 single people there working, living there, everything. We ate meals together. It was a real good thing. And then when the group I was directing, the music and drama group, when we were making our first album, she was always a fine singer. And I said to the group, "Why don't we have Joy join the group to solidify the female voices?" And they all said, "Yeah." And working real close with a top music director that was flown in and everything, finally we got interested. And the group went down to Nashville, and that's when I realized, I think I like this girl. We were just friends, and we knew everybody there and everything like this. And she loved joining a Jewish ministry, and we've been teaching some of the things like today on Passover and how every part of the Jewish Passover points to Christ and the church.
That's right.
And this has been going on since the days of Moses.
Yes.
Oh, and she knows the Hebrew prayers, the lady you've heard her say this morning.
Yes, that was so, that was really
Over
great.
The candles, and she likes the candles really good. And, we travel, close to about 40,000 miles a year, both on, but within our Jeep, we do a whole lot of flying. And it's beautiful the way the feasts complement and have prophesied the church. And for those of you, is it okay if I
absolutely
talk a little
you
like
just
that?
Wherever God leads you, we want to hear what you have to say.
There were seven feasts that started in the days of Moses. The first one is Passover. There was not just a day, but an hour. The Passover lamb had to be slain by the ninth hour. On our clock, that'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus died on Passover that exact hour. And I love to say to people, now, how many think that's a little bit more than coincidence?
Yeah, yeah.
The exact hour that the Passover lamb had to be slain by. And I explained this morning when we were here, but for those listening now, in the first chapter of Genesis, when God created the 7 days, all 7 days started with evening. So according to the Jewish culture, even though the clock says something else and starts at midnight, according to Scripture, when the sun goes down, it's the morning of the next day. All 7 days begins with evening in Genesis 1. And I'm going to tell you, you don't know.
Twist my mind a little bit.
Yeah. But, and a lot of people have read it, but it never sunk in.
Right.
Let me check that again.
Yeah, yeah.
And there it is. God started every day with evening. So when the sun goes down, they consider it the morning of the next day. For instance, the Jewish Sabbath is on a Saturday, but it starts when the sun goes down on Friday. And when you visit Israel, by the way, we're taking a tour to Israel. It's a top-notch, first-class tour. This is just an advertisement here.
Absolutely.
For a bottom, and we're going to be staying at four-star-plus hotels, the top of the line. You'll see everything, and it's about $2,000 less than what these big companies are doing. Because we're not hiring film people, sound people, bringing all that equipment home. It's only, and it leaves from Dallas, Fort Worth. It's going to be from the 7th of November to the 16th for only $43.50 a month. But when you're in Israel, excuse me, a month.
A month. Wow.
$43.50 total.
More information will be on our website.
More information will be on our website.
And I can also.
The Deke Silverman and Deke, D-E-K-E, Deke Silverman, S-I-L-V-E-R-M-A-N, .org. Was there something you were going to say now?
Well, I was going to say, and also we can post a link on Facebook our website that will lead that where they can find your website too. But we will help people to be sure and get into contact with you
if they
would be interested in that Israel trip, because I do believe that will be a big blessing and
we may never get these fine places for this price again.
Yes,
that's why other people are charging more. And, well, God is so good. So when you're in Israel on Friday night, everything at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everything closes down. They prepare for Sabbath because that's before the sun goes down. And then when the sun goes down on Saturday, Sabbath is over. You have that evening.
Interesting. Our goddaughter lived there for 5 years. She was a TV production manager. And she posted a picture to me, and one Sabbath morning, this would have been a Saturday morning, there was absolutely, she lived in Jerusalem, there was nothing moving. There was not one soul on the street, not one car, not one vehicle, nothing. So they take Sabbath very serious.
Oh, yes,
it is
they
rest.
Do.
Yeah.
Sonia and I had an opportunity to go to Israel 3 years ago, and that is one thing that we talk about, that is how serious they are about Sabbath, is even the elevators. They have the elevators set
Correct.
Up
yeah.
where you don't have to even push the button. It just stops at each...
Right. One stops at the even floors and on the main hotels, and the other one stops at the odd number
floors.
Now, see,
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
I just watched it. I'm glad I was on the right elevator.
Every other floor. Now, you can go, like if you're on the fourth floor... And you're on the odd number, you go to the fifth floor and walk down one. You see how that works?
And they had timer for the lights.
Oh, that did.
Mm-hmm. So that you didn't have to turn your lights on or off during that Sabbath time. So that's really interesting.
Because they don't believe in striking a match or turning a switch or anything like that. But my heart goes out because they do need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And as a born-again Jewish believer, and... that's why we travel doing the Messianic music and bringing out these depths of the Scripture. Like I said, Jesus died not just the day but the hour the Passover lamb was to be slain by. According to Mark 15, he was buried after the sun went down. It'll say, and evening has come. The Greek literally means there's no more, the sun's not there. And even then he didn't get buried right away. Joseph of Arimathea had to beg for the body from Pilate the body of Jesus. So Jesus died on the exact day and hour the Passover lamb was to be slain by on Passover. That evening is another feast day. That first week of the year, Passover begins the year. And even though it's in April and everything, this is the Jewish calendar. Sometimes it's in March because of our calendar. It stays the same. Our calendar changes. So that first week of the year, three of the seven feasts take place in one week. The moment the sun goes down on Passover, it's another feast day. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. When they celebrate the fact God had our ancestors leave Egypt in a hurry so that we would never put, the Bible calls it leaven, you and I know it as yeast, into the dough. Because symbolically that represents sin. They could put it in afterwards. And the women and the servants, as Jewish history points out, wore the dough, besides the dough was weightless, wore it on their shoulders and their backs, and the intense heat of the desert sun hardened it into a firm cracker like we see today. Now, the crackers we have today are perfectly square, and it's got, and that's the, no, go ahead.
Well, this is really interesting to me as you're explaining this. So, like, as they're walking out of Egypt, that, you know, the women have that literally around their neck, and it dries out. And so, I mean, this is literal. I mean,
and the heat of the desert sun was so intense. It's easily 100 degrees. It just baked on their backs. And some, there might have been some dough left over, and they, without yeast, baked it. And that Feast of Unleavened Bread, what happens in the Jewish home, because especially the religious Jewish ones, the Orthodox, mostly conservative, and the ultra-Orthodox. And in the Old Testament and in Jesus' day, they always had two Passover meals. When the sun goes down the night before Passover, they have their first meal then. That was the last supper Jesus had with his disciples. And they went through the whole Passover meal. And there was a time on that plate are many different items. One is the bitter herbs to represent the bitterness the Israelites went through in their 400 years in slavery. And when Jesus dipped into the bitter herbs, that's where Judas dipped with him. And Judas's life came to a bitter end.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
That is.
But the positive is the resurrection life went with everyone that accepted him and everything like this. And in the Jewish household, they have that second Passover meal. And what they do is with the three pieces of matzah in a pouch called the matzah tosh. Tosh is Hebrew for unity. Three separate compartments for three pieces of matzah. And like I tell the churches, praise God, how many see it representing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Way back then, one God in three persons.
And I don't believe in coincidence.
No.
Like you said, I believe God definitely ordered those things.
Every step of the way.
Every step.
And the head of the household then takes the middle of the three pieces of matzah that you and I see representing the Son of God. He breaks it unevenly and takes half and puts it into a separate pouch. That pouch is called the afikoman, which means dessert or that which will return. Is that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves and buries it somewhere in the home. No one's allowed to see. And then 3 days later, and I ask the people when I teach it, how many days was Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, in the earth? 3 days and nights. I had a Hebrew teacher. I wanted to redo my biblical Hebrew. And there was an Israeli lady who taught it at the Jewish Community Center in Dallas. And 2/3 of our class were born again Jewish people. And she taught it that way. And she said, I asked her once before class, her name was Ruthie. I said, Ruthie, Jesus said the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth the same amount of time Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Well, as church people, we've all heard this. So I asked her, in the book of Jonah, go back to the Hebrew, how long was Jonah in the whale? And she said, to put it in modern English, in her Israeli accent, Jonah was in the whale 324 hour days and nights. The Hebrew talks about from sunup to sunup the next day, or sundown to sundown, I should say, the next day. And I tell everybody, wherever I go, continue to celebrate Good Friday. Let's celebrate. There's a day when we can say He may not have been crucified this day, but let's celebrate them. Let the world know our Savior suffered and died for us.
Yes.
And then He was raised from the dead on a Sunday. You see, He died on a Wednesday. And you can learn this when you go to Israel. And He was buried after the sun went down Thursday morning. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He was raised from the dead Sunday morning. I say to people, who cares if it's the exact day? I mean, everybody on earth knows Jesus wasn't born December 25th. But who cares? Let's celebrate a day where we can say, thank you, Father, for having your only Son, our Savior, born on earth.
Absolutely.
So let's celebrate Easter Sunday. That wasn't the original name of it, but like I say, who cares? Yeah. Let's let the world know we serve a Savior that was risen from the dead.
Yes, and that is so important to us as believers that we serve. He conquered death. That's the most important thing, is He came and He conquered death.
Conquered death, hell, and
grave. For a believer, there's no fear in death.
That's right. That's right.
And I have a sermon that I talk about, where we talk about how Jesus stripped the enemy of the keys of hell and of death after He rose from the dead. And I heard a preacher say these decades ago, and I like to say it because I agree with him, and I think he did one more thing. I think he kicked him in the teeth. Think of the devil as a dog with no teeth.
That's right.
How much can he bite you? If you stay with the Lord, he can't touch you. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. So those three feasts take place within 3 days, actually, because that feast where he rose from the dead 3 days later, I forgot to get to this part, 3 days later after the matzah is buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, all the children in the home, many times you have cousins coming over with their parents, they search the house for that middle piece of matzah when the sun comes up, like when Jesus was raised from the dead. The child that finds it brings it back to the head of the household. He then redeems it, and they use the word redeem, we do to this day, with a special present. To this day, that present is still called the gift of the Father.
Mm.
Is that beautiful?
That is.
Now, people listening to this, if you get goosebumps over that, that's all right.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Good to get to my right there, James.
You're right.
Praise God.
You know, this is kind of off the subject.
No, go ahead.
You know, everything that you're talking about is... It was exact, right?
Correct.
Everything has a symbol or whatever, and it was exactly like it was Old Testament in Jesus' day.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard this from, it was supposedly from Jewish scholars, and you may have heard this or yes or no, but I have heard that the inn or the manger where Jesus was born was in the, so let's call it a barn, okay? Just for, okay, I have heard that was the exact same barn that they stored all the sheep in that were there to be slaughtered for offer for sacrifice.
Oh.
Have you ever heard that?
I've heard that. I haven't seen the proof, but it sure makes sense.
But it was so, he was born in the same place that the sacrificial lambs were in.
Wow.
And it was a guy that, like I said, it was Jewish deal. They had the writings or whatever,
uh-huh,
because that's where they kept all the, they inspected them, you know, make sure they were worthy, and they kept them in this one certain barn or whatever, so that they were no sharp edge, you know, stuff. So they wouldn't get hurt while they were there. And they was supposedly, like I said, that's where Jesus. I was like, that sounds just like God would be.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was even born where the sacrificial lambs
were
held.
They would have been separated. They would have been separated.
Right. Wouldn't have been with all the animals. It was
right.
Just the sacrificial sheep.
And they
sheep
would have
whatever.
Been the ones with a little bit more unblemished.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Say.
The perfect sheep, and he was the perfect sheep born.
Set aside.
So he was
just
the perfect sacrifice.
That.
Yeah. I have heard that, and
that
I just
awesome thought. I love
it's,
that.
Supposedly it was some Jewish history writings that the guy had seen or heard from, you know, people that knew. And I just, it fits so well with all this other stuff.
It makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, he truly fulfilled everything.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if that's truth. I know it's not written anywhere out there in the Bible, but it's just, that sounds like God to me.
Right.
All the other stuff you're talking about.
True.
That's right. That's right. That's the God we serve. All the feasts match up. And then that third feast is called the Feast of First Fruits, where they celebrate the first harvest of the year. It's the smallest harvest, but they celebrate the first life they planted into the ground and grew up that year. On that morning, Jesus became the first fruit from the dead. Mm. On the feast of first fruits. That's so beautiful.
It is.
And then exactly 50 days later, after they left Egypt, the Holy Ghost fell. Praise God, in Acts 2. And that was the first Pentecost. And it parallels the first Pentecost in the Old Testament. A lot of Christians don't know this. And the Jewish people will tell you, the first Pentecost in the Old Testament, which is 50 days after first fruits, was the day Moses came down from Sinai. And he loved, listen to the parallels. He came down and he got mad because they were worshiping the golden calf. And aren't you glad we have perfect Christians today?
Oh, that's yeah.
Right. He breaks the Ten Commandments. He says everyone that's going to walk with the one true God, stand here. And those that want to be by the golden calf, go ahead. And God tells him, kill everybody by the golden calf. Okay? So the Levites, who was the holy tribe, who led in praise and worship. See, they weren't the leaders yet. But this day changed it. And I asked people how many, they drew their swords and killed them. And I asked people how many died that day. Exodus 32:28 tells you. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the sword that day about 3,000 men. 1,500 years later, almost to the day, in Acts 2, the Holy Ghost falls. How many got saved? About 3,000. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Yes.
God replenished. In the New Testament, first Pentecost, the same number that was taken in the Old Testament. Although the parallels are amazing. There was fire on top of the mountain they saw when Moses was up there. What was on top of the heads of the Christians in Acts 2? Tongues of fire.
Mm-hmm.
You see how Scripture fulfills itself. And that's when the Holy Ghost power came. They weren't allowed to witness until they got the Holy Ghost. And they began speaking in tongues, and miracles came forth like Jesus did, and even more. He said, greater works than these shall ye do. That literally means you're going to do far more than I can, because I'm in one place at one time. And you guys are going to have the same Spirit that raised me from the dead residing in your hearts, and you can change the world everywhere you go.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. You got a comment on that, Miss Natalie?
Well, actually,
I can see you're ready to say something. And I'm glad. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I just think about that, and I think about the people that see the Bible as just a book.
Correct.
And they don't necessarily believe that everything in it is true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about how the parallels
are perfect. Yes.
Of a time that of span that is so separate that how all of these things can go along. And these are totally different time periods where people are writing this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so as we hear these things, I hope this encourages those that might be listening that God's Word is true.
Yes, it is.
He's the same yesterday,
today
and forever. That's
yes.
Right. And take His Word for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk on God's word, great things happen.
Yes.
I once heard somebody say about a decade ago, oh, I tried that. You don't try it, you live it. It doesn't mean the first day you decide to live for God, there's going to be a bag of $100 bills on your doorstep.
That's right.
It means it's a process. Do what God asks. Be a giver. Given it shall be given unto you. And you see, what we were saying is, if people follow the Bible, a lot of people don't want to admit the Bible's true. When I witnessed in New York City in the late 70s, I used to tell non-believers, both Gentile, Jewish, you don't want to believe it's true. I said, because if you were to say it's true, that means you have to change your lifestyle and live according to the Word, and you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be wild. You want to live a lustful life. Every time in 3 years, they said to me, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So they'll argue it away. The truth is, the Bible is real. the word of God is real.
Today,
go ahead,
they
honey.
Have their own truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
So say that again a little bit.
A key phrase that a lot of people say today is, I have my own truth.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
There's only one truth.
That's yeah. right.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right. That's right. Or that's not necessarily my belief. My belief is, you know, my God is this, or and there's only one God.
That's right.
Or I've heard this. We knew people that weren't married, adults. They were related to me. They were a generation older. But they lived together and not get married. Because if she gets married, she loses the inheritance. So they lived together and lived nice, and their saying was, I think God understands. And I never got to tell them this personally because I heard from somebody else. The truth is, God understands His Word.
Yes,
there's not a question in life. I learned this soon after I was saved. There's not a question in life you can have where there isn't an answer in the Bible. If it's truthful, the Bible will follow it. If the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, but lie or give false witness, we're not supposed to do these things. These hurt the Lord and they're sin. And a lot of people don't want to believe it. But I'm telling you, for those, let me concentrate on the positive here. For those of you that want God in your life, you want God to change things, you want to live God's way, ask Jesus to be your Lord and personal Savior.
Yes.
Things will be different from that moment on.
And what happens is when you decide that you are going to allow God to be Lord, Jesus to be Lord of your life, there's a relationship.
Yes, there is.
That is set up to where all those other things you thought you wanted to do and you thought were fun no longer become your desires. Your desires, His desires become your desires in that natural relationship in sincerity with the Lord. And then you're not feeling like you've given anything up, but that you've gained something with mm-hmm. God.
That's right.
And I think of as the principles, as Deke was referring to, as one minister said, they're guardrails. It's a structure. And it's when you think of guardrails, well, there's laws of driving.
Mm-hmm.
There's yield signs. There's stop signs.
That's right.
There's time to go and there's time to stop. And the guardrails are on the side to keep us from running off the road.
Right.
Well, when we live by the principles of God and He blesses that, He's keeping us safe.
That's right.
And guarded. But when we want to do our own thing or pull away and live outside is when... But then, ultimately, people want to blame God.
They do.
They don't want to live within the parameters, but yet they've
That's
got
right.
to have a scapegoat.
They want to be their God. They want to be what they want to do what they want to do, but then when things don't work out for them, it's God's fault.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Right.
They don't believe much in God.
Yes.
But then they blame God, even though they want to believe, you know, talk their way out of it. But the beautiful thing is, and we're seeing people find Jesus across the country. Waitresses. I'm an outgoing person. I try to witness everywhere I go. Do you know about Jesus? You know God loves you. Sometimes it embarrasses people. But doggone it, we've seen people. Let me give you an example. My wife and I do a lot of flying. We fly all over the country into other countries. And about 4 years ago, we were flying out of Dallas to Detroit. And we were taking Delta Airlines, and it was one of these flights where it was pretty crowded, but they didn't have my wife and I sitting together. They had to change it, so before we went back to the gate, I went to the front counter, and I said, you know, ma'am, she was real sweet, if you could put us together, my wife and I do want to sit together. And she smiled and said, let me see what I can do. She came back about 10 minutes later, and she said, yes, Mr. Silverman, we have you both together right here. And I said, thank you, ma'am. You're going to be blessed. You just helped ministers. A man from the back looked to be a manager, stood up and yelled, who said they're a minister? I said, I did, sir. He says, please, could you wait there? I said, yes. He had to walk around, seemed like a quarter mile to get where we were. Before he reached my wife and I, he broke and cried. The first thing he said was, I prayed this morning, God find me a minister.
Oh,
but God can use anybody just witnessing like that.
Yeah.
And all he said was, I need a miracle in my marriage. He broke and cried, joined hands with Joy and I. And I believe we're seeing a miracle in his life. But there's so many people out there crying out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I believe that we are definitely coming into a time where, have you seen the movie Jesus Revolution?
Oh, yeah. That was me. When I got saved in 72, my hair was in the middle of my back.
Yeah. And I believe that's where we are again. I believe we
Correct.
Have a generation that's hungry for what is real,
yes.
what is true.
Right.
And that is just an example of what you're saying is, how the Holy Spirit works. We just go where God tells us to go. We do what God tells us to do. And we just do that.
Be
and
a light.
Then, yes, and be a light wherever you're at. And mm-hmm. you don't have, like you said, you don't have to be a minister. Mm-hmm. You can be.
Just tell them Jesus loves you.
That's mm-hmm. it. Have a good day. Jesus love you. Mm-hmm. Be blessed.
And if yes. you see that they're hurting over something, say if you wish, I'll pray for you right now.
Yes.
Praise God. We prayed for that man. And, you know, people are going back and forth, and some people think, what if they heard you? Well, good, there's enough swearing going on out there
yeah.
at the
yeah.
airport. I didn't scream it. We just talked normal and said our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just that don't know the Lord, if you're listening, give Jesus a chance. I'm not saying you're getting $1 million the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you'll receive a peace that passes understanding that people can't describe. When people have gone through atrocities in their lives, sometimes it takes that, and they find Jesus, they start to get a peace, and people say, how can you be peaceful over what happened? Well, peace that passes understanding. We serve a supernatural God, and God will help. As you pray in the name of Jesus, believe on Him, praise God, He'll upturn things around in your family, on your job, whatever God tells you to do. The positive is, Jesus is Lord, whether you're Jewish,
yes.
Gentile, hallelujah. Everyone that wants to get a hold of me, get on my website, glory to God, and you're going to have it online.
Yes,
and all
but go ahead and let's tell our listeners again, in case they didn't have a pencil with them before, tell them your website again.
The website is Deke, D-E-K-E, the number one. No, that's not it. That's my
sure, no.
that's my email. Excuse me. It's Deke Silverman, SILVERMAN.org. I'm so used to giving away my email. It comes natural. And DekeSilverman.org. A lot of people wonder, how's Deke spelled? D-E-E-K. No, it's D-E-K-E. SILVERMAN. Contact us. We're people persons.
Yes.
And I can explain anything you want to hear about. One thing God placed upon my wife and I's hearts over 5.5 years ago, about a year prior to that, God spoke to me. We've been supporting Jewish ministry in Israel since the early 80s. Back then, we could only give about $20, $25 a month, but mm-hmm. in 1981, that was worth a lot more than today.
Right.
And then I raised it to 50 finally. Now we're giving all we can. And for the past 5.5 years plus, we've been feeding Holocaust survivors in Israel.
That's great. That's
and you can look on Google. Israel, just recently this year, counted over 160,000 that are in their country alone. There's over 200,000 on earth. And the last count, they counted 850 at least that was 100 years old or older.
Mm.
These are the type of people that need Jesus. Now, I was at a major minister's conference. Oh, it's been about 7 years ago now. And at the product end, there were over 20,000 people there. I met the one man who's feeding Holocaust survivors in Israel. That is God. He lives in Oregon. In the last 5.5 years, my wife and I have become the biggest contributors, so they flew me over to Israel to be with the Holocaust survivors,
wow.
help
oh,
feed them.
Wow.
And they began to dance and praise God, and they give them a track in their own language that says, More Than a Carpenter, written by the great Jack
and
Hayford years ago. Go ahead, honey.
Many of the ones that have been displaced in the Ukraine being able to make Aliyah into Israel, their homeland, which is prophetic there.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that have been displaced during the Holocaust or displaced from Ukraine are now coming into Israel.
Mm.
And so this ministry that we are, there are arms and legs on the ground in Israel. They're also being able to minister to those people as they get off the, mm-hmm. the influx of those from Ukraine. As they come into Israel, they're getting ministered to.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah,
that
so
is
it's awesome. Really exciting.
It's exciting to see what's happening because they're hungry for God,
mm-hmm.
like I was. And I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know what. There's a lot of cults out there. I was listening. They didn't do anything for me, but I was just so hungry to get close to God. When I heard about the born-again experience, I knew this is God. My life is about to change. And brothers and sisters listening to this, your life will change with Jesus. Some of you may say, I've already asked Jesus into my heart. Get into the Word of God. I'm writing a book. Actually, it's complete. It should be coming out in the next month or so on the power of meditating on God's Word.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, because Joshua was now taking over the leadership of Israel. I mean, he's taking over from Moses, who talked to God face to face. Hallelujah. And he was wondering what to do. And God told him in verse 8, meditate on my Word. Give yourself wholly to them. Meditate day and night. The Hebrew word for meditate means three things in English. Obviously, to think about it. The second thing it means is visualize it. We have that scripture in the New Testament. Greater is he who lives in me than he that lives in the world.
Right.
I envision the light of God, the Holy Spirit in me, just blinding every devil and guiding me. And the last thing it means, to think about it now, is the first, to visualize that scripture. And the third thing, the closest English word, is to mutter it. Now, come on, everyone talks to themselves now and then.
Oh,
even
yeah.
when others don't see. One of the most famous times is when you're driving and you're at a red light behind somebody and you're praying they're not on their phone. And you say things like, oh, God, I hope they're paying attention. But you can mutter God's word so quiet no one else even hears it.
Mm-hmm.
Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you that Paul prayed for the children of Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can be next. They don't have to hear you. It can be where people hear. But to mutter it is the third English word that most completely translates. What that word is, and basically it's getting into God's Word. Oh, give God's Word first place in your life. The first thing I do when I wake up every morning is pray, intercede.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I do, I look on my phone for the verse of the day.
I do too.
There you go. And
I
have devotions that I like to read, and if I miss a few days because I'm busy, I then go to catch up and things like this. Praise God, praise God.
And as you're talking about what the word meditate means, so those three different things, it actually makes me think about when I'm looking at that verse of the day, I take that verse of the day, and that's actually what I do, not realizing I'm actually meditating,
there
which
you go.
I'm meditating. But, you know, you take that and you begin to take that and think about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to really compare different versions of that, and you know, of that scripture,
mm-hmm.
and read it in the different translations to see how it, you know, is read and what really sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, the Holy Spirit just uses something that just will grab a hold of you,
right.
even with that just that one
that is correct.
Verse of the day. And yes, it's great to read a chapter a day. I'm not saying, but it's okay
right.
to only read one verse a day,
right.
if you're, you know, you're
right.
meditating on that and thinking on that.
That'll do it every time.
Every time.
That'll do it every time. The Word is so perfect and so beautiful. Yes, a couple weeks ago, we were at Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, and I did the whole Passover Seder. We started off with a revival song in a Jewish melody. And before we leave, I wanted to go on to the fall feasts.
Mm-hmm.
After Pentecost, you have a long summer period. Now think of this, how prophetic it is. Jesus died on Passover, was buried on unleavened bread, as I mentioned, raised from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. And in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit fell. We have not seen the fall feasts take place in the church age. For instance, the first fall feast, Rosh Hashanah, parallels the rapture. It's taught one of the days... It took place in the Old Testament was when Joshua went into Jericho. For 7 days they marched around Jericho one time. On the seventh day they marched around seven times. The trumpets sounded. Hey, what's going to happen at the rapture? The trumpets will sound. Those walls and barriers fell. Now, Jericho, you can look this up, was known as one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. Here's people that grew up in the desert for 40 years. When the walls fell and they saw plant life oasis like they could only dream about, to them it was like heaven on earth. Someday, when the trumpet sounds and Jesus says, I'm up here, whew, praise God. It's like I heard a preacher say, I'm not going to say, well, Lord, I'm busy right now. Could you wait a couple hours?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll be ready to go. Somebody else can finish what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 days later is the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur. It was the one day of the year where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. You could only go through the curtain. You could never come back out or you died. And there was a passageway cut through the stone and rock. Well, they've discovered that passageway. Yeah. Oh, about 25, 30 years ago. It's exciting. Maybe a little longer. They discovered that passageway. It's beautiful. On that day, he poured a vial of blood over the altar, on the foot of the altar for his own sins, and then a vial for the sins of Israel. They covered their sins. But in the New Covenant, the New Testament times we live in, the blood of Christ, when we accept Him as our Savior, it forgives us and washes away the sins. 10 days later, after Rosh Hashanah, I mentioned, is Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the holiest day of the year. It parallels the Second Coming. As we know, there are two different events, the rapture and the Second Coming. And they believe some year, about 7 years after the rapture, on that day, Jesus will physically come back to earth. The millennium will begin. The last feast, 5 days after Yom Kippur, hallelujah, is the time, the blowing of trumpets, the time of celebration. Many of them call it the Feast of Dedication, where you just celebrate. And the fact that we're going to live with God throughout all eternity. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. And it'll be fun singing all those new choruses in heaven and everything like this.
That's right.
Glory to God. Something you want to add to that?
Well, I just love how Scripture, like you said, is just not a book. But Jesus said every jot and every tittle would be fulfilled, down to the actual
yes.
letter. And speaking also regarding his principles to live by, it was prophetic. Even in the Passover, if you want to bring up the part about when Jesus dipped with his disciples and the portion that where he dipped and he prophesied about Judas with the bitter herb.
Right. I mentioned that briefly earlier. When he dipped into the bitter herbs, that's where Judas dipped with him. The only apostle that did not get free from his sin. That last feast, let me jump in here, Joy, is the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll be tabernacling and worshiping God throughout all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasts 7 days. And in biblical times, when they were walking with God, all the bills were paid for. The whole nation had to come in and worship God. You had to do two things every day. The first thing, you had to worship God in the temple three times. And the other one was you had to feast. I'll bet you we could handle that. What do you think,
James? We like to eat at our house.
Oh, church people, Jewish people, they love their feasts. And it was like one of the first great buffets in history. I sometimes joke and tell people, well, Scripture says to buffet your body. Yes, it's pronounced buffet. But when I'm at a nice buffet, I like to pronounce it buffet. And that's the seventh and final feast. And
so
you can see how
that is the only feast, the one feast that is yet to be fulfilled.
No, the last three have yet to be fulfilled.
Oh, okay.
The rapture, the second coming. And that's a good question. Joy asks that because a lot of people want to know that. They ask that question. All three of those are yet to be fulfilled in the church life, in the new covenant. And we may see it come to pass. Since I got saved in 1972, born again. Glory to God. Everyone was saying he's coming back soon. Look how much more it seems like he's coming back.
Yeah.
The enemy's trying to attack. We've got all these idiot diseases and everything like this. Friends, just stay right with God because things are going to happen and God will protect his people.
And also, most importantly, we have our nation, the United States of America, has to stand with Israel.
That's right. I agree with
that. It's premium, and God even said it himself. We're not saying it because we love Israel. He said, I will bless them that bless Israel.
He promised Abraham.
It's not just
that.
A verse. It's not just words on a page.
Yeah, yes, he promised Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee. But it didn't end there. He said, I will curse them that curse thee. Now listen to something I heard during the 73-74 war. When the Arab nations attacked Israel, there were a group of either 8 or 10 nations in Africa that joined the Arabs. When the war ended, something happened that they couldn't believe. The Sahara Desert began to grow. You can look this up. And it began to grow in those countries. They came against Israel. God supernaturally saved Israel because it was pressure. If we don't stick up for these Arab nations, why, we might not be getting any oil. Stay with God's word. Praise God.
That's right.
Now make no mistake about it. I believe every Jewish person needs the Messiah, Jesus. In Hebrew, Yeshua, the Jewish believing congregations call him by the Hebrew name so that it's, so they don't offend any Jewish people that might be offended by hearing the words Jesus in Christ. But there's still people that God is protecting, and that promise of Abraham is still alive. You know, they say they have the Iron Dome over there, but I believe they've got a supernatural Iron Dome even above and beyond that. Praise God. Were there any questions you wanted to ask?
Well, actually, I was wondering if you would be willing to pray for our listeners. They're listening to some of the things that we're talking about, and maybe they're still on the fence, or they're just not quite sure. You know, they've been going to church and seeking God, but they're still just quite maybe not be where they think they should be. But if you'd be willing to pray for our listeners.
Oh, I'd love to. Joy and myself and Natalie, right?
That's right.
And James.
Yes.
Who is the half-brother of Jesus.
Exactly.
Let's pray for the listeners.
Thank you,
Father,
God.
In Jesus' name, the name above every name.
Yes.
I lift up and pray for every listener right now. God loves you, listeners.
Yes.
And Father, in Jesus' name, I know you're showing your love to them. And as they open their hearts and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life, please show me your love. Show me the peace that passes understanding. It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And brothers and sisters, he is a miracle working God. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a brother and a sister in the Lord. He's a miracle working God. Ask him to bring in the miracles. Find a good church to go to. Praise God.
Yes.
Plant seeds. The Bible talks about giving tithe, 10%. You can't outgive God. Hallelujah. And Father, thank you for a fresh blessing. The peace that passes understanding to everyone that's listening, whose heart is open, that is reaching out to you right now, even as we pray.
Yes.
And everybody out there, if you're not saved and you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, like I did, I tried it in 1972. You do the same thing. Say this prayer with me. Father God.
Father God.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
For sending Jesus.
For sending Jesus.
To die for me.
To die for me.
I believe Jesus.
I believe Jesus.
Died on the cross.
Died on the cross.
To take away my sins.
To take away my sins.
That you rose him from the dead.
That you rose him from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
I ask Jesus.
I ask Jesus.
To forgive me of my sins.
To forgive me of my sins.
To come into my heart.
To come into my heart.
To be my Lord.
To be my Lord.
My personal Savior.
My personal Savior.
And say this like you mean it. I believe Jesus.
I believe Jesus.
Is the King of Kings.
Is the King of Kings.
Is the Lord of Lords.
Is the Lord of Lords.
And Lord of my life.
And Lord of my life.
Oh, and just shout
thank
and
you,
rejoice because you did
thank
something
you,
so
thank
special.
You,
God is still on the throne. Praise God.
That's
you can
right.
contact us through our website, deeksilverman.org. I'm one of those that wants to answer every message. Glory to God. If you want me to call you, leave a number. Hallelujah. The Lord is wonderful. And this is a supernatural work that James and Natalie is doing. And
Amen.
you're going to shake people's lives continually through this radio program.
Yes, thank
Glory
you.
To God.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for praying. And as we are going to go ahead and come to a close to our program, it's so when you are listening to the things of God,
right.
how time flies by.
Right.
You know, we can just keep going and keep going. But I'm reminded of a story, or one of the things that you talked about. You have a Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking a little bit about Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And the snake. So would you just kind of talk a little bit about that and just tell them about the Bible that you have?
The Bible that we sell, and it's for $100. It's called the Spirit of Israel Bible. It's large print. It's King James, red letter edition. But the first 144 pages are color pages that tell stories about Israel and prophecy that you've never heard before. For instance, they have a picture of a snake with legs, the skeleton. They're finding more skeletons that date back way over 6,000 years, because it was about 6,000 years ago that Adam took a bite of that apple and the curse fell. And because the snake was used, the snakes lost their legs. And so this dates back before that to about at least 7,000 years. There's a picture of one in there. And they tested it. It's not a large lizard. It is a snake. Praise God. And it has some other things. In 1932, in New Mexico, they were expanding where more people were living, and they were taking apart and tearing apart a hill in the desert they thought no one lived in. All of a sudden, they saw a huge carved out piece of like cement, whatever was used back then. And when they pulled it out, it weighed over 80 tons. It does to this day. It's on display. They had to use what machinery they had back then. Once they cleaned it and brushed it off, glory to God, inscribed on it in ancient Hebrew was the Ten Commandments.
Oh.
And this Bible in the front also gives you 16 reasons through scriptural and what they have found by digging. They believe the Garden of Eden now is where Jerusalem is, underneath there. You'll see all the proof. And it talks about all the great things that our presidents have done to help Israel. Praise God. The $100 donations goes to help us feed Holocaust survivors in Israel. And we're very excited about it. Praise, and you can get on my website, deeksilverman.org, and find out how to order it. We can take check or card or anything, and we'll get in touch with you.
Purchase it on the website.
Or you can purchase it on the website. See, my wife helps me out with that.
See, you need joy in your life.
I do. She is special.
She is special. Well, I really wanted the Bible, and the last time that you, because this is the second time you've come to Cornerstone, but the first time you came, I believe you sold out. And so James and I were not able to get one, so I was glad I was able to get one when you were here. But this is what I thought was so funny, because you had told the story about the snake. My mom is sitting in the car. She was here with us today, or was here, here with us then, and she says, "Let me see that. I want to see this snake." She wanted to see the snake with
Praise
the teeth.
Praise God.
With legs, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I want to thank
you. Yeah, with legs.
I want to thank you for having me enjoy here. Praise
thank
God.
You.
So I see we're running out of time.
Yes, we're about to come to the end of the program here. And
but an honor it was to be here.
Yes,
in this wonderful time of Wheeler.
Yes, and we're so glad to have you here, and what a blessing it is. And be sure and go and check out their website and look into and prayerfully consider going to Israel with them. I pray that you would be in November. I pray you would be blessed. But I'm not going to say good night, because normally I say good night. I'm going to say good morning.
There you go.
In Jewish time, yeah.
When the sun goes down, it's the morning.
It's the morning.
And thank you, folks, for listening.
Yes.
God bless you.
Shalom.
Yes, thank you. And we will talk to you guys next week.
God is